Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam. Oh, yeah, it's Disney Plus launch day. He's in a good mood from that. Cody, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, John. Good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. Snowy day today. Has anyone missed yet? Anybody had an excuse yet?
I believe Nate was out. I think.
That's okay.
Schools got delayed or canceled, so I imagine he's like, oh, got to scramble and keep the kids. I imagine what's happening. But I woke up and I checked the Periscope feed, and he wasn't here. So I imagine that's what happened, which is perfectly fine. You know, like, he built an excuse, like, got to take care of business. Boss, understand for sure. But that's the only person I've seen.
Really didn't snow that hard, but.
It did at my house.
Did it?
At least it looks like it does because I got all those trees.
You got.
So all the snow was like covered the trees and stuff. I woke up, looked out my back window, and it looked like a Robert Frost poem.
Probably gets thicker at your house, though.
Maybe.
I don't think.
There's water sort of kind of close. I don't know if that matters. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how all that works. I'm no meteorologist. But I would think the further out you live, the more it accumulates. Maybe that makes no sense.
I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, like, it's harder to get out is what I mean. But not necessarily because of the snow accumulation, but because of the lack of salt trucks, probably. But okay. You didn't have any trouble?
No. No, I just rolled. Right out, huh? Yeah. I live off Alcoa Highway, and they're building that new bridge, that new overpass or whatever. And for some reason, there was a cop parked in front of the bridge across the road, like they had it shut down both sides.
Yeah, got to write tickets even on the
No, he's parked in the middle of the road.
Oh.
Just like blocking off the road.
That seems dangerous.
Yeah. But luckily, I was able to weave in between because I was going the opposite way. I was able to weave in traffic and, you know, get headed in the right direction, but something weird was going on over there. I don't know.
So far, the count is at one persons who have missed their show today.
Yes, correct.
But, of course, when Nate misses, we can't really...
No.
Can't dog him as much.
I wouldn't. I'm not going to. You can if you want, but I'm not doing that.
I mean, I just don't think it really snowed all that much.
I don't think it was the snow that kept him in. I think it was the school being delayed. Because didn't school get delayed a couple hours? I want to say school got delayed 2 hours this morning. And he has kids that are in school, so like...
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I guess that's a good excuse to miss a show.
You know. It's bye week. It's the bye week, which is good. And if I was a kid and I had a snow day or at least a delayed day, I wouldn't want to come sit at the radio station for a bit, especially because, like I said, if it's delayed, they end up having to go and run out to school. So
the delay day as a kid sucks. The delay day is awful.
Yeah. Usually
just us out.
Usually I think I just didn't go on delay day.
Yeah, I don't think I did either. I didn't in high school.
And people were just like, oh, yeah, couldn't get a ride. Parents had to go to work. Okay, makes sense.
I definitely didn't in high school. In elementary, I might have, if they made me. You know, you can't say much when you're in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are anti-authority, you just they'll make you.
Sure.
You know, your parents, they'll just drag you there.
Yeah.
Against your will. But once you get to, like, high school, you just say, I'm not going.
Ooh, I just got – Cam, I just figured it out. I got that free through my Verizon, so I got the Disney Plus a free for a year. How about that?
Because you have Verizon?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Verizon Unlimited. I don't know if everyone gets it, but I had an unlimited account from back in the day. that I've been holding on to the last couple of years?
I'm an AT&T man, so that's a problem for me. I might subscribe, though. Seems like a good deal.
It does seem like a good deal. I don't want to give them all this free pub, but it seems like a pretty good deal.
What all do they have on there?
I think for like $12.99, you get Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus.
I mean, but the Disney, what all is going to be on the Disney?
All of the comic book movies, I know that, which I don't know if you care about. And I did see The Simpsons were on there for some reason. I didn't know The Simpsons.
Disney owns The Simpsons. So. Is that anything Disney owns.
Is that a new thing or no? Are there Simpsons things at Disney World? I don't think I've ever seen a. Maybe they did they put a new ride there or something?
I don't know.
Are the Simpsons represented at Disney World? Like, I don't.
I'm not sure, but it has all the Disney, like a lot of the old movies, classic shows, yeah. Like Disney Channel shows.
If you have a kid, Pixar movies. Yeah. Imagine this. Like, all I had was a couple of VHSs. I'd rotate between The Lion King and, you know, I'd throw on the Little Giants every now and then, get some sports, but some back Aladdin. To The Lion King. Aladdin.
Yeah.
Aladdin started off too slow for me as a kid.
Yeah, I didn't care for Aladdin.
Street rat stuff I didn't like. I was like, this feels like we're being really mean to him just because he's poor and it's not his fault.
You felt that way as a kid?
Yeah. And I didn't like seeing him having to go and like try to steal bread. And he had a come up, don't get me wrong. Was it a prince he became? He ended up, you know, yeah. he faked it until he made it, and then he married a princess. Shout out to him. Then he became a real prince. Like, congrats to him. But, like, I didn't – the part where he's running through the street after stealing the bread and getting chased, I always just felt really bad about. So, Aladdin was low on my list.
Yeah. Aladdin that's 2. Understandable.
I feel like I liked Aladdin 2 better because he was already
– Disney.
He was already had money at that point. It wasn't as much of a street rat.
Disney struck those liberal values in you as a kid. They got me feeling early. Bad for the homeless.
They got me early. I don't think that's what they were going for, but it got me.
Yeah, who knows? It's all subliminal. That's what they say.
They got me. They also turned me on during a whole new world, so those hidden sex messages in there work too.
Yeah. I mean, the
Jasmine.
Jasmine was a beautiful animated drawing.
Hello, Jasmine.
She was beautiful.
That on-air chemistry they had, you could see, even as a kid.
Yeah.
Even as a kid. So, I mean, I can't imagine having this Disney Plus as a kid. Like, I just never...
They got Star Wars and National Geographic on there, too.
National Geographic? Okay,
ooh,
so
that'll be cool.
We're going to rot your brain, but we're also going to teach you things if you want to know.
They got Jeff Goldblum has, like, a little National Geographic show.
Cam's
like,
going to learn so much about animals. He's going to learn so much new, so many new facts.
I've seen all the shows that are already on here.
Oh.
Probably.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I mean, you got to think about the
my bad.
The kids out there on a day like today. They get their perfect snow day.
Do you think Disney helped make it snow here? Like, is it snowing across the country? Probably.
Disney can do that. They
very control
powerful.
The weather.
They're very powerful.
I would not put it past them. Disney wants it to snow, I would imagine they could find a way to get it done.
It makes me think of the evil Mickey Mouse on South Park. He's talking about, do I own that yet? No, sir, not yet. Well, give me the damn company. That's funny. Yeah, very funny. But if you haven't seen it, it probably makes no sense.
Hell of a football game last night. I think I saw it was the first Monday Night Football game to go into overtime since 2015.
It was a very good game. Very, very good. And that 49ers kicker, I mean, that poor guy. He hits the field goal when the pressure's not quite as hot. Or not quite as rampant, and then he missed to win it.
Yeah, the pressure was more, I think, at the end of regulation than the one in
more
overtime.
So than to win the game.
I think so, because if he missed it, he would have lost, and if he had missed it in overtime, they still would have had a chance to tie. Now, granted, they ended up losing, but I think they ended up losing because Kyle Shanahan didn't run the ball. Ironically, like, hey, remember the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan? Sorry, Cam. They got the ball with a minute 20 left, and did Seattle have any timeouts left? They had the ball with like a minute and 50 left, and I don't think Seattle had any timeouts left. And maybe you mix in a run there and burn some clock, and maybe don't let Russell Wilson get the ball back with enough time to get in field goal range.
What
I get that you don't want to play for a tie, and you know maybe the big takeaway is I don't know if I trust Jimmy Garoppolo in big moments because he played really bad last night. And you know, San Francisco did have an open receiver on that go route, and Jimmy G just missed him. They could have hit the game-winning touchdown there, but maybe mix in a run and get the clock moving. That way, if you do have to punt it back, you don't have the chance of getting beaten by Russell Wilson, which is exactly what happened. But either way, yeah, the rookie kicker went from hero to what to the loser. Hell was that? That was the worst kick I've ever seen.
It was horrible.
It was really bad.
What do you think about the two teams trading punts within, like, the final 2 minutes of overtime?
Because, that's what I'm saying. Like, it shouldn't happen. The 49ers should have made sure that they're not going to give that ball back to Seattle, especially not with any time to do anything. And
well, the thing is, you're backed up. Like, if you don't get the fourth down, you give them the game right there.
Well, I don't go for the fourth down if I'm San Francisco.
So you're saying you should punt?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying you manage the cross. Like, you got the ball back with, like, a minute 50 left. You can't punt it back to him with a minute 30 left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to mix in a draw or a screen or, like, give a quick wide receiver screen. Like, do something to get the clock moving. That way, if you're punting, you're punting back with 40 seconds left and Seattle has no timeouts, and then they are in a different situation. They're not able to have their whole playbook open because, I mean, Russell Wilson got the ball back with, like, a minute 20, right?
Yeah.
Minute 30? Like, I mean, he had plenty of time. They ran the ball, and, like, they ended up burning the last 40 seconds and spiking, I mean, because they had already gotten in field goal range. I thought it was poor clock management. But, no, I don't go for the fourth down there on fourth and 10. No chance in
hell. They were
that.
Backed up in their own territory.
Yeah, I don't do that.
You give them the game if you don't get it.
Yeah.
But the alternative is you know you're probably not going to get the ball back there.
Yeah, but the tie is okay. The tie is better than a loss.
See, I don't
– In San Francisco's case where they have a couple game lead in the division, like if they tie, like they keep their – what, game and a half lead, two game lead over Seattle. So I was okay with them being okay with the tie. Seattle was the team I thought needed to be a little bit more aggressive.
It's understandable, I guess. I don't know. I would hate playing for the tie if I was a player or a coach, you know. But it does make sense when you in terms of the standings.
Yeah. Well, like when the Colts did that last year versus the Texans. And, you know, it was like a fourth and short, and it was on like the 40-something yard line, I want to say.
Maybe you go for it there.
And they did, and they missed it, and they dropped down to 1-4. But they might have even dropped to 1-5 with that game. But then Andrew Luck and the team talked about how, like, the aggressiveness really sparked them, and then they won like 9 games in a row. Well, and it worked out for them, and they got in the playoffs, and then went back to Houston and beat their ass in the playoff game.
I guess San Francisco was probably backed up too far, though.
My issue was Seattle punting on 4th and 2. With a minute 57 left from the 45. I thought they were the team giving up. Like, I thought they need to be more aggressive and try to get the win. They end up punting it back, and then San Francisco takes over on their 20-yard line a minute 50 and goes 3 and out in 8 seconds.
Yeah, that was crazy. San Francisco just
– mixing a run, bro. No, Seattle no had time. No timeouts, just mixing a run.
Yeah. You could have at least ran off, you know, 40 seconds there.
I don't know if I want to go out and, like, go all in with this take. It might be a little controversial. I feel strongly about it. I don't know if it'll check out, like when you look at the standings and watch the team play, but I got a pretty big take I want to give you after the break. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Watching last night and really watching them this year, I feel like I'm not sure Pete Carroll's very good. Seattle wins. Seattle makes the playoffs. Seattle has been one of the better franchises. I'm not sure Pete Carroll's good. Some of the stuff he does just makes me scratch my head. I just feel like he's not aggressive at the right times. I feel like Russell Wilson really covers a lot of his deficiencies. I feel like Pete Carroll, if he had lesser of a quarterback, would be a coach that's been fired by now. That's kind of what I think when I watch the Seahawks. And, like, it's ultimately the reason I can't get behind them as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They're great. Like, I love watching Russell Wilson. I think it's going to come down to him and Lamar Jackson for the MVP. I hope Russell Wilson wins. I hope he gets kind of the tiebreaker over Lamar Jackson because of, like, career achievement. Because Russell's been so good for so long. I hope if it's close, the voters give it to Russell Wilson. But I watched Seattle and I watched last night and I'm like, man, Pete Carroll's just not very good. And I've been thinking this all year, but I can't keep it quiet anymore. I want to put it out there. I don't think Pete Carroll's a good football coach. At least a good X's and O's game manager type of coach. Maybe he can motivate the team. Maybe the team wants to play for him. And maybe he does a good job in that regard. But the game day stuff, I don't like at all.
So you're saying he's – I mean, I would understand saying he's overrated and not as good as people say he is. But you're saying he's just not a good football
coach. I just don't think he's good. Yeah, no. I mean, he's maybe overrated would be the better. Maybe the overrated is really how I feel. Like, but I think if I rank the coaches and guys I really want, like on game day, like he wouldn't be in my top 12.
Really,
or 14. I don't think he's good, man.
I mean, I've seen him do some boneheaded things.
I know,
but haven't you seen just about every coach do some boneheaded things?
Sure, but I mean, like. Just the last couple years, if you watch Seattle, it seems like he is hell-bent on running the ball the entire first half and keeping his offense in the mud. And then all of a sudden, when it's like, okay, let's let Russell Wilson actually throw the ball and make plays, all of a sudden Seattle's offense is really good. Like, yeah. If you watch that game last night, they kept just beating their heads into the wall. Chris Carson, 2 yards. Chris Carson, 3 yards. Okay, Russ, 3rd and 5. Try to bail us out. First down, okay, let's do this again. Chris Carson, 2 yards. Chris Carson, fumble. Oh, damn, we're off the field. Like, he has one of the best weapons in the NFL, and it only takes desperation to unleash him sometimes. They play a lot of close games because they try to ground control and try to, I guess, grind games out. And then, yeah, like last night, like it ended up working, but it shouldn't have. But 4th and 2 from midfield, like, let Russell do something. Well, it's 21-21, the two-minute warning, and it's 1st and 10, and they're driving. They can put the game away with a touchdown, or at least pick up a couple more first downs and, you know, be kicking with no time left on the clock. And he goes, Chris Carson, here, run the ball. I'm going to take the ball out of my best player's hands, and it's 1st and 10 from the 36, 2:32 left. Chris Carson, rush to the right, 4-yard gain. Chris Carson, run to the right, 5-yard game, 3rd and 1. Chris Carson, rush to the left, 1-yard loss, field goal. And I'm just like, I mean, you saw the Cowboys do it the night before. Like, Dak's on fire, Dak's balling. Let's give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott and stop ourselves and lose the game. Now, Seattle won last night, so this isn't going to be a big topic of the conversation. And the officiating also gets left off the hook because, man, some of those officiating calls last night were bad. I don't understand how – I mean, just two plays side by side. If you saw the juxtaposition there, you would be like, how the hell is this one called this and this one's called that? But, I mean, like the strip sack fumble touchdown that Russell Wilson gets the ball knocked out. It goes to his offensive lineman. It gets punched out. San Francisco scores a touchdown. They didn't call Russell Wilson in the grasp there. They're like, oh, no, just keep playing. And then, you know, in was it overtime? Or I guess
that was
maybe the last drive where he gets grabbed and he gets out of it and then ends up running for 6 yards. Like, but after the fact, the ref comes in blowing the whistle after Russell Wilson 6 yards down the field and calls him in the grass. And I'm just like, what the hell are you guys doing? And
it's then he supposed made a clutch to be
third,
football.
Yeah, he made a clutch 3rd and 17 play, so it didn't really matter. But I'm just like, man, they're really Russell Wilson and the Seahawks have a lot of things working against them, the officiating and their head coach.
Well, how much credit does Pete Carroll get for their success? Because
I mean, they
went into San Francisco and knocked off the only undefeated team in the NFL.
They did.
I mean, does Pete Carroll? I mean, he's got to get some credit for that success, does he? I mean, that's like I not said, all Russell Wilson.
No, but I would say it's Russell Wilson and Jadeveon Clowney.
Like, Jadeveon Clowney was incredible.
I'm giving Russell Wilson, Jadeveon Clowney, and then is it Shaquille Griffin? Shaq Griffin's the one that's the good cornerback, right?
Yeah.
Like, that guy's a baller, too. Like, he made a couple big plays in that game, knocking balls away and you know, creating incomplete passes. So, I mean, like, sure, Pete Carroll gets some credit, but I'm starting with Russell Wilson and Jadeveon Clowney. And if I'm the Houston Texans, I'm like, really? We gave Jadeveon Clowney away? And because we had our money tied up in J.J. Watt, who can't stay on the field? And I get J.J. Watt's very a good dumb dude and holds it down for Houston, but Jadeveon Clowney, like you saw last night, what you thought you were getting when he was coming out of school.
If it weren't for that hurricane that J.J. Watt did so much for, they probably wouldn't have done that. And that other guy last night that was making his debut for Seattle, he was really good. The guy that had the interception in the third quarter.
Quandre Diggs?
Yeah, yeah, Quandre Diggs.
Yeah.
When they got up 21-10, you know, San Francisco had the back-to-back turnovers. And that was, at that point, I thought that Seattle was going to kind of take care of business.
Detroit gave Diggs away, too.
Yeah, I think people kind of forget how good he was because he's kind of just buried away on Detroit. But yeah, he's always been a good player.
Yeah, and they kind of gave him away to Seattle, so Seattle got a big boost. They needed help in the, you know, in the secondary, and they got it. And Seattle, when we do our power rankings here in a bit, like, Seattle makes my top five, but I still have some questions. And it's mostly I just don't trust Pete Carroll.
Seattle has won double-digit games every year besides one since 2012.
Yeah, no, they win. So, they win a lot. But, I mean, 2012 is when Russell Wilson took over, right?
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, like, Pete Carroll is intertwined. And I get you don't have one without the other and all that, or at least you don't have a Russell Wilson that's played for anyone besides Pete Carroll. Do have a little bit of Pete Carroll without Russell Wilson.
Well, it was just his first 2 years in Seattle, though.
Yeah, I mean, I had a stint with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Jets.
He got made the playoffs twice with the Patriots in the late 90s.
6-10, 10-6, 9-7, 8-8, 7-9, 7-9. And then you get Russell Wilson, and then all of a sudden it's 11, 13, 12, 10, 10, 9, 10, 8-2. So he's a better coach with Russell Wilson. Obviously, that's no shock that if you have a elite quarterback, you're going to win more games. But
yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson is – I think he's the best quarterback in the game today.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I don't know anybody better than him today.
Yeah, I mean, we had that conversation a month or so ago, and I felt like some people are going to be mad we were putting him at number two. You put him at number one ahead of Mahomes. I put him at number two behind Mahomes. But it is I mean, I don't think there's any debating that Russell Wilson is at the top of the league. If you still want to put Mahomes ahead of him, I'd have no arguments with that. Mahomes is still really good. But maybe you give the nod to Russell because he does have the Super Bowl ring. And another NFC championship on top of it. Guy's a baller. Hope he wins MVP this year.
I'm having a problem over here with a bug.
Oh, I was wondering what the hell is going on.
There's some sort of bug crawling around on the floor.
I'm sorry to hear that. Are you okay?
I'm okay. It's just it's really been bothering me. I kick it away and then it comes back to me.
Do you think it just wanted out of the snow?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to put it in a cup and go put it in another room. So that it's not in here.
Okay.
But I'm not going to put it outside because it probably is cold.
What are you going to do if it crawls back in here? What if the bug
I'm going to kill it.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm going to deport it once, and if it comes back, I'm going to kill it.
You're going to give it one good warning.
Exactly. And then I'm going to build a wall. Going to build a wall so it can't get back in.
Week 10 NFL Power Rankings. You ready to go? You got your MySpace Top 8 ready after the break?
Not really.
All right, let's do that. Let's talk sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. This football season, don't let your lights get knocked out. A snowstorm. Whew, imagine if your power went out and it. You'd freeze. You might freeze to death, literally. You need a Generac automatic standby generator to keep your lights on, to keep your power running in case of storms. Actually, it would be kind of scary if it was really cold and your power went out. Especially if you had like an older person in your family. I need to get one for mom or something. What is she? She's not that old. Sorry, mom. Do a smart thing and call Lloyd's Electric Service and buy a Generac automatic standby generator. Lloyd's Electric Service and their LES Facility Service Division provides complete generator sales, service, and installation in Knoxville and the surrounding areas. With great financing options available, owning a home generator has never been more affordable. Lloydselectricservice.com, 865-692-6700, or online at Lloydselectricservice.com. Your business, our priority. All right, week 10. MySpace Top 8 NFL Power Rankings. Let's go. I've got the power. Power lies on this. Aye, 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 aye. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. I need more than power. Rankings. Rankings. All right, Cody. Week 10 is in the books. Hit me with your MySpace Top 8 NFL edition.
All right, number 8 for me, I go with the Houston Texans.
Okay.
At 6-3. The Texans were off this week. They did not play anyone.
That is correct.
But because of Kansas City's loss to the Tennessee Titans, the Texans move into my top 8. The Texans move into my top 8 at number 8, 6-3. Number 7, the Saints fall from number 1 to number 7 with their loss to the Falcons. I'm now officially concerned with Drew Brees.
Okay.
You've been saying it all along. I'll give you this one.
I'm not taking the victory lap yet. He just looked pretty bad on Sunday. He could still bounce back, but that wasn't an outdoor game. That was a dome game. He's supposed to be good in the dome. We'll see if he bounces back, so I'm not going to take the victory yet, but it ain't like Drew Brees is playing at an MVP level.
Now, I move him from 1-7 with that loss to the Falcons. Number 6, the Vikings climb 2 spots for me with their win over the Cowboys in Dallas. Good win for the Vikings. I really like the Vikings right now. I know I said on Monday they might be my favorite in the NFC. I don't have them as my favorite in the NFC. But I do like what they're doing, and I think they've got as good of a chance as anybody to come out of the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. We'll see how things continue with Kirk Cousins. Number 5, I drop the 49ers to the 5th position. I had them all the way up to 2nd last week. I drop them now down to 5th with the loss to the Seahawks. But, you know, that game could have went either way, but they were at home, and they let the Seahawks come in and win.
So you dropped the 49ers from 2nd to 5th?
I did, yes.
Seems a little extreme for an overtime loss at home.
Well, you know, I mean, it was at home to a coach that's not very good, as you said.
That's a fair point.
And, you know, I haven't really believed in this team all year, so.
I am a little worried about their defense without Quan Alexander. He's out for the year, and defense did look a little bit more susceptible without him out there.
Yeah, and I'm not sold on Jimmy G. I'm just not sold.
He didn't look good last night.
Number 4, I push the Seahawks ahead of them. Seahawks up 3 spots in my power rankings as they go into San Francisco and get the win. Obviously, tight game last night. I got these teams at 4-5. Number 3, the Green Bay Packers bounce back after the loss to the Chargers and get a fun win in the snow over Carolina. They are probably my favorite. I think I am hoping for a Packers-Patriots Super Bowl so we finally get to see that Rodgers-Brady, the culmination game.
Is this higher than you usually have the Packers? I feel like you moved the Packers up a pretty good bit.
I moved them up 2 spots from last week. The Saints and the 49ers fell out.
It's funny because I usually have the Packers in my top 5, but I moved them out this week.
Really? You didn't even like after their win? A win.
I don't know, man. Just there's something weird about that team. They feel a little bit off to me. They're 8-2, so they're winning, but they are 17th in total offense and 28th in total defense. I'm wondering if they're legit or if it's just kind of smoke and mirrors and they're playing a lot of home games, I feel like.
You said they're 28th in total defense?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the defense was really good the first 2 weeks, but it turns out it might just be because they were playing against a bad Kirk Cousins Kirk Cousins when he wasn't playing good, and Mitch Trubisky. The defense has kind of fallen off.
28th in total defense?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put the Seahawks ahead of them with that stat. I don't care for that stat.
I don't like that stat either.
I don't like that stat. I'll keep them ahead of the 49ers for now.
And they're still winning, which is, you know, that's a good sign. Maybe they can figure it out and get better, but that defense has me a little worried after I thought it was going to be a lot better after the first couple weeks.
Yeah. All right, so Packers at 4, Seahawks at 3. I got the Ravens all the way at number 2. I had them at 4 last week, but, you know, by default, the Saints and 49ers both lose. And I like what the Ravens have better right now, although I like Russell Wilson better than Lamar Jackson. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the Ravens at 3 and move the Seahawks up to 2.
Okay.
I've now moved the Seahawks all the way from 4 to 2 in the last 2 minutes.
Talking it out loud.
All right. Ravens
3. It's not official until you get through the number 1, so it's okay.
Ravens 3, Seahawks 2, my number 1, the New England Patriots. I did not like that loss in Baltimore, but them and the 49ers are the only one loss team, and I think they're better than the 49ers. So I guess by default I move New England back up to number 1.
Okay.
My number 1 and number 2 lost. Saints. Had the Saints all the way to number 1. What a catapult they took. Huh. That's what happens when you lose to the Falcons. No offense, Cam.
Saints need to make the move back to Teddy. Defense plays harder for Teddy.
Who would have ever thought?
My top 5, a little bit of shake up in mine as well. The Minnesota Vikings, I believe they were there last week, and they are still holding in. I keep them at number 5. Minnesota goes to Dallas, wins. Kirk Cousins gets a monkey off of his back in terms of winning in prime time on the road against a good team. So I don't know if the Cowboys are actually good or if the Cowboys have just beaten up on some bad teams, but they had a winning record and were in first place. And the Vikings went on the road and beat them. I got them at number 5 right now. Number 4 for me, I was impressed with last night. I still have a couple of reservations about Pete Carroll, but Russell Wilson is a baller. Seahawks at number 4. Seahawks at number 4. Like I said, last night I was impressed, but I'm still remembering them getting dominated by Baltimore, them losing to the Saints at home with Teddy Bridgewater. I can't pull the trigger on them all the way being ready to go at the top of the league, but they're my number 4. They're on high alert for moving up. Number 3 for me, they've been playing really well. They followed up a big win 2 weeks ago with a dominant performance over the lowly Bengals. I give them the nod at number 3 over the Seahawks because they beat them head-to-head. Baltimore, I'll give you the number 3 nod. Still don't like that loss you had to Cleveland. That still worries me that Cleveland dominated you at home. Still not overly impressed with your full body of work, but right now you have the number 3 spot. Number 2, I'm not going to overreact for the 49ers. I kept them at number 2. Despite losing to the Seahawks, I still have them ranked ahead of the Seahawks. They still have one loss compared to 2. And I've talked about this guy, Cody, for a while. I think he's their best player. They didn't have George Kittle last night. I think if they have George Kittle last night, Jimmy G probably looks a little better. I think George Kittle is their best player, and he didn't play last night, so I'm going to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, and they still only lost in overtime. It was a close game.
At home,
but it was a close game.
With Richard Sherman. Seahawks didn't have Richard Sherman.
What's wrong with Richard Sherman?
Seahawks didn't have Richard Sherman.
I mean, that's fun.
He went to the 49ers.
They haven't had Richard Sherman in 2 years.
I know. But when you look at that particular game last night, I mean, Kittle, Sherman.
Kittle hurt. Emmanuel Sanders got knocked out of the game, too. So they were without, you know, a wide receiver that they needed and without, you know, their best player in George Kittle. So it made it a little bit tougher. And look, Jimmy G, we gave him a lot of criticism. We've said he wasn't good. But I will say there was a couple of really good passes and plays that could have been really big that the receivers just dropped the ball on. The receiving core wasn't very good once Emmanuel Sanders went out last night.
That's another concern with them. If Emmanuel Sanders or Kittle are hurt, I mean.
Well, yeah, sure.
They're not very deep.
Sure. You could say that about all these teams at the top.
Yeah, but some teams are just winners. You know, like the Seahawks are
winners.
They're
8-1, bro.
The Seahawks are winners.
They're 8-1.
I know they're 8-1, but they just showed up. They just arrived on
the Seahawks are great in primetime. Russell Wilson, I want to say, is like 12-2 his last 14 primetime games.
I'm taking Russell Wilson over the 49ers every day of the week.
Okay, but if they play at 4 o'clock on Sunday in a couple weeks, I'll take the 49ers if George Kittle's back.
They'll be playing in Seattle.
That's fine. Seattle hasn't been very good at home this year.
All right, fine. Lose that board bet, too.
I would say, is that a board bet?
I did lose that board bet. I want to see if everyone's healthy. I'm not putting
I'm
a
sorry,
board bet
I was
in.
Only 3-1 this weekend. My bad.
I was rooting for the Seahawks last night, but I was kind of like, if the 49ers hit this field goal, at least I win a board bet. And I was rooting for the Seahawks. I wanted to see my new best friend at the station, Weston, win his parlay. So I was rooting for the Seahawks. But then I was like, if they hit this field goal, well, at least I win a board bet. So sacrifice the board bet for my new good friend Weston winning his parlay.
Are you going to rank the people at the station soon?
We need to soon.
I don't know how my rankings would look.
Number 42, or number two, the 49ers, I keep them there. I'm not selling my stock. I think it was a really good game, and I think sometimes really good teams lose in really good games. Number one, I just gave them the nod because they haven't lost this week, and the Patriots. And yesterday was Veterans Day. I support the troops. And the ultimate troops were the guys in the American Revolutionary War, you know? We wouldn't be here without them.
You think?
I mean, we wouldn't be Americans.
Were they the ultimate troops, though?
I don't know. Some might say World War II, maybe, I guess.
I'd say, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I would say that we wouldn't have a country without the American Revolutionary troops. So
yeah, but they had their downfalls.
Yeah.
I would rank the World War II
what were the troops downfalls?
Ahead of, well, most of them owned slaves, and most of them were rich, you know, landowners. They weren't really troops. They were, they had to have troops. Well, I'm thinking like the founding fathers, I guess.
I'm talking about the troops.
There were actual troops.
Yeah, that I'm had talking about to, the people fighting in the woods, taking down the British.
They did have to defeat the British.
Yeah, giving two middle fingers to the king.
And that was, yeah, and at that point, I mean, we were the underdogs, so.
Yeah.
You ranked them pretty high.
I don't know if we were the underdogs in World War II or not. Like, I know that history kind of gets rewritten sometimes. Like, I don't.
Nah, we weren't the underdog.
I wouldn't think so.
We definitely weren't by the end of the war.
I mean, it was an important war, though. I didn't think we were the underdogs, but I mean, like, you know, it's just history, you know, kind of gets written by the winners.
It was definitely a game changer once we hopped into the war. It was over at that point.
I was like, all right, time to go.
Ask Japan if we were underdogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they messed up.
Japan. Well, I mean, Japan was a world power when it happened, though, right? I mean, Japan.
Not for long.
Well, I mean, I know, but I'm.
They got a little cocky.
Yeah. Yeah. Shouldn't have done what
they
did.
The king bet not miss.
Yeah, it was a bad decision by them to do what they did.
Good thing they stopped when they did. Wasn't the third one headed for Tokyo?
Yeah. Yeah. We have one.
Imagine an atomic bomb dropping on Tokyo.
Well, I think that's what the Japanese leaders all said. And they're like, okay, never mind. We should stop.
Yeah, good move by them.
Let's surrender. Yeah,
that was a good move.
Let's try to.
That essentially probably ends you as a country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, times were different.
So I love the troops. Patriots number one in my power rankings. That'll do it for us. Stick with us. Or no, I'll do it for power rankings, not us. We'll be back. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. As we kind of put the finishing touches on week 10 in the NFL, we do look ahead a little bit towards week 11. The Thursday night game, Steelers at Browns. I'm actually looking forward to that one in Cleveland. Browns find themselves in another situation. The Browns are what, 3-6? And they find themselves as 2.5-point favorites on my bookie over the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have won four games in a row and find themselves in sixth place in the AFC. That'd be a good game to start the week off with. Get kind of a front row seat of Cleveland. And, you know, look, if Cleveland wins this game, they'll all of a sudden be back to 4-6. And they'll feel good about themselves. Or at least better about themselves. Then they head to Miami in another game against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, and then all of a sudden Cleveland might be able to get back on track and make somewhat of a playoff run. That sixth loss is always damning because then you're at the point where you pretty much have to win out. Like, I know some years the 9-7 gets you in the playoffs, but it feels like most year you got to get to 10-6 at least. So this is a must-win game for Cleveland on Thursday, and Pittsburgh can't really afford a loss either. So that'll be a good game I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to the quarterback matchup. Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson. Texans going on the road after a bye week to play Baltimore. I had Baltimore higher in my power rankings than I have all year, even after they beat the Patriots. I don't know if I'm sold on them. This week, you take care of business against the Texans, who are coming off a bye week. You kind of cement yourself as a legit contender. I can't quit thinking, though, this is the type of game that Deshaun Watson pulls out and wins. And that we're going to spend all week talking about Lamar Jackson and his MVP chances. And then on Monday, we might be like, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson's really, really good. Who would you rather have, Watson or Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. I don't think it's crazy that you say that. I think a lot of people would probably say that today. It's crazy to me that that's where we're at in this NFL season, because just of the question marks surrounding Lamar Jackson, you know, everyone tried to move him to wide receiver, said, hey, he's not going to be accurate enough in the NFL, and give John Harbaugh and Greg Roman credit. They have built the perfect offense around him that fits his strengths.
It's part of why I like him, because he came from, you know, rough upbringing. I mean, he's faced a lot of adversity. Not only as a player, but as a person. That's part of why I like Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
I want to see him succeed.
I want to see Lamar Jackson succeed, too. And I mean, if I say I want Deshaun Watson instead of him, that's not me putting Lamar Jackson down.
No, obviously.
I think Deshaun Watson's great, and Deshaun Watson – look, the last time these two went head-to-head, we got a classic game, right? I mean, wasn't the last time they went head-to-head the Louisville going to Clemson, where the Louisville guy just ran out of bounds short of fourth down, and, you know, like Lamar Jackson got stopped on the 5-yard line, and he had – you know, came storming back after Clemson jumped out to like a 20-something point lead, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden Louisville's like, let's go.
I remember that.
That was Georgia week. That was after the Hail Mary. I remember watching that game in Athens, I'm pretty sure.
That was a great game, yeah. I was watching that game in a bar.
Yeah, I was too, in Athens.
I was in Knoxville.
That's the last time these two played, so like they produced a classic the last time they went head-to-head.
Is that the last time?
Pretty sure.
Think it'll be a good game. That's a good quarterback matchup.
Yeah, the Ravens sit at 4-point favorites right now. My early reaction is I'll take the Texans and the points because I think this is going to be another classic. Cam, who would you rather have, Jackson or Watson? Because I think that's going to be the conversation this week.
I think I would still go Watson right now. I want to see a little bit more from Lamar, just straight passing wise. But, yeah, I think I still trust Watson a little bit more. Like, see, I really like Lamar, but...
I go the opposite of you, see. You say you want to see more straight passing from Lamar.
I think he's
Lamar.
A pretty good passer.
I almost want to see more running from Watson, and I want to see, like, Bill O'Brien kind of build a team around Deshaun Watson that is good enough to be around Deshaun Watson, because I look and I'm like, man, you haven't fixed... You've tried to fix the offensive line. It just hasn't necessarily worked yet, and... Sometimes your play calling leaves me a little confused, and I don't know if Bill O'Brien's actually good despite him having a couple of division championships. I'm fine with Lamar running around and doing his thing. I almost want to see Deshaun do more of it and show his athleticism a little more. Now, obviously, I don't want to see him get hurt. And his rookie year, when he did a little bit more of the Lamar Jackson impression, he tore his ACL in practice. So I'm okay if they want to be a little bit more careful with Deshaun, but I think – I do give him an edge in passing, if that's what you mean. But
yeah,
also,
I just think Deshaun's a winner too. Like, yeah. I not saying Lamar isn't, but you know, Deshaun just has the pedigree where he's been doing it for everywhere he's been.
Yeah,
I mean Lamar, career. He's only lost what, two games as a starter.
Yeah, I mean
for Baltimore,
yeah, NFL. Yeah,
he won a lot at Louisville. You know, for Louisville standards, but I mean, yeah, obviously
I think he's a winner too.
Obviously, Deshaun Watson has a national championship.
Yeah, I mean that. Lamar wasn't going to win a national title at Louisville, you know, so that's part of just being on the team you're on. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody was saying Sean Watson was going to win a Heisman at Clemson whenever he went there either, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're both great. Mm-hmm. I think Lamar's – I'd take Lamar. I think Lamar's a little better. I think he's a little bit of a better athlete. They were both Heisman winners.
Yeah.
But I think Lamar was special. I think he was more special in college than Deshaun was. And since he's been in the league, I think he's been better.
I mean, he's a taller version of Mike Vick with a better coach around him that's going to try to, like, help him succeed. I mean, when they're out in the open field, it gives you the same feeling as it does growing up watching Mike Vick in the open field, except Mike Vick kind of, you know, a lot of his big plays were scrambles, like breaking the pocket and running around and doing things like that, whereas Baltimore's almost like, hey, just – here's RG3 as your option back. Run this little speed option and then, you know, make a play.
Well, I think the fact that Lamar is able to do all that, I think people just they get it in their head that he can't throw. I think he's a really good passer. I mean, you can't get to where he's at without being a really good passer. I've seen him make big throws. Just because he's athletic doesn't mean he's not also a good passer.
I know, but he's not as good as a passer as Deshaun Watson. I don't think you can make that case. He is not as good as Deshaun Watson at throwing the ball.
I think he's the second best quarterback in the league. I move Lamar to my number two.
I think he's getting a lot of like easy throws off the play action because that run game has been so dominant, and his running ability too. Like, he's a threat to run more likely than you think, and I think it's really opening it up. That's why I think he throws to his tight end so much. It's just kind of that play action type stuff sets him up for that. But yeah, they're both really good quarterbacks.
I'm looking forward to watching them play. I'm imagining that'll be the CBS game locally since the Titans are off. So like, I mean, maybe everyone gets to watch that full game and doesn't just have to catch highlights on the red zone. Like, you can watch Texans, Ravens. I'm assuming that's going to be the CBS local game.
Thank God I don't have to watch the Titans.
Oh, yeah, I know that Chiefs game was so boring. It was such a bad game.
It was. I had to watch the Titans.
Oh, yeah. 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 I'm looking forward to Week 11. Bears-Rams will also be a good one. I like the Monday night game again. Chiefs. Chargers, I think they're playing that in Mexico. You get the Patriots coming off a bye week after being embarrassed a little bit by the Ravens. They go to Philadelphia. I like the Week 11 schedule. I'm looking forward to it. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. It's Talk Sports live from the truly hard seltzer studios.